In May 2010, Pope Benedict XVI was in Fátima, Portugal, for a four-day pastoral visit, which took him to Lisbon and to the Marian Shrine of Fátima. Veronica Scarisbrick was with the Pope on that trip and looks back at some of the Holy Father's remarks to the people of one of Europe's most Catholic but poorest nations.
Vengo come pellegrino di Nostra Signora di Fátima.
I come, he remarked, as a pilgrim to Our Lady of Fátima, referring to the apparitions which took place in the Marian Shrine almost a century ago, describing this moment as a window of hope that God opens when a man closes the door to him. Let's recall for a moment how this apostolic visit has two levels of interest. First of all, of Marian devotion, in continuity with the successors of Peter, Paul VI first and then John Paul II, who all travelled to Fátima on the date of the apparitions, on the 13th of May, the date when Our Lady appeared to three little shepherd children for the first time. Curiously, in Fátima, they're referring to this continuity with the papacy, dubbing him Utercero Papa, the third pope. The third pope, then, who in turn referred to the words of a well-known cardinal from the Salazar era, who once remarked, it was not the church that imposed Fátima, but it was Fátima that imposed itself on the church. But it was the second level of interest, the more official one, the Holy Father highlighted, picking up on that special historical connection between Portugal and the successor of Peter, noting how the people of this nation have since the earliest days of their nationhood looked to the successor of Peter for recognition of their existence as a people. Benedict XVI then placed the Church in a historical context once again, pointing out its openness to cooperating with anyone who does not marginalize or reduce to the private sphere the essential consideration of the human meaning of life. The point at issue, he insisted, is not an ethical confrontation between a secular and a religious system, so much as a question about the meaning that we give to freedom. The Pope then went back to the landmark date of the proclamation of the Republic, highlighting how by separating church and state, the Republican Revolution, which took place 100 years ago in Portugal, opened a new area of freedom for the Church, to which two concordats of 1940 and 2004 would give shape in cultural settings and ecclesial perspectives, profoundly marked by rapid change. I'm Veronica Scarisbrick.
Ahead of the trip, Veronica spoke with Portugal's ambassador to the Holy See, João Alberto Bacelar da Rocha Paris.
The signing of a new concordat between the Holy See and Portugal back in 2004 confirmed the historical relations between the Catholic Church and Portugal, highlighting the mutual responsibility in building a society that promotes the dignity of the human person, justice and peace. How easy is this in Portugal's increasingly secular society like everywhere else in Europe?
Yes, I really do not think that the defense of human dignity, justice and freedom be incompatible with today's increasingly wide trend towards secular societies. I think that in this respect, I'd like to recall a quite important speech delivered some years ago by President Nicolas Sarkozy here in Rome in the Basilica of St. John in Lateran, in which he spoke about the principle of positive light, later elaborated in several occasions by Pope Benedict XVI, which is not more than the admission of the fact that the roles of the Church and of the state may be complementary and may complement each other in our societies to the benefit of humankind. As a matter of fact, I think that we are here confronted to nothing more than recalling the very old say that according to which to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. So I think that there is a perfect compatibility between the two sectors of our life today.